I just want to see you be brave. That is my prayer for everyone here today. That we would live with brave hearts, bold hearts. I often wonder what would happen if everybody lived with a very bold heart for God. You know, as Christians, we are called to have a bold faith. You know, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16, he says, "Be alert, stand firm in the faith, be brave, be strong." Holy Spirit, I believe, is whispering in some of your ears today saying, "I want to see you be brave." You know, we started this series, Heart, last week. If you weren't here, I'd really encourage you to go to our website at ffworship.com, or you pick up the message of the Faith Fellowship podcasts on iTunes, but to kind of get caught up with this. But we've been looking at a guy by the name of David. And David accomplished amazing things. When you read his life, it's really staggering, the things that he did. But God said what was really remarkable about David, what drew God to him, was not what he accomplished, but it was his heart. And so we've been looking at David's heart and what made it so special. And I believe as we study his heart, that God will do some work in our heart. Today's story that we're going to look at, I think, is one of the most well-known stories that you find in Scripture. And a little backdrop on it, David, this is early in his life. The Israelites are at war with the Philistines, and the Philistines, they come from the west coast and the area of Palestine, and they had a corner on the iron market, and so they had shields, swords, chariots, a lot of bling bling, so to speak. And you remember when we studied Samson, that's who Samson dealt with. But these Philistines were warriors. They were a fighting machine. Israel, they were agricultural people. And so you got the Philistines, they're creating a ruckus and they're creating problems. And finally, the problems become so severe that King Saul, with the help of Abner, who was kind of his commander-in-chief, they put together a makeshift army. And Israel declares war against the Philistines. But everything kind of comes to a standstill. You see, not only are the Philistines very well trained, but they have this giant of a warrior by the name of Goliath. I mean, Goliath, if he was around today, he would go very high in the NBA draft, okay? I mean, he's 9'6". Goliath was the champion of the Philistines. And as champion, he did what was the custom in that day, and he challenges Israel to just send out their champion. And basically, they're going to fight one-on-one to the death, winner take all, and that the nation that wins, the other nation has to bow down to him. Scripture says that Goliath, he would come out. He said, "Here and now I challenge the Israelite army. I dare you to pick someone to fight me." When Saul and his men heard this, they were what? Terrified. I want you to picture this. Goliath. Goliath comes out every day. And he makes this same challenge. Goliath is taunting the Israelites. He's making fun of them. He's making fun of their moms. He's making fun of their God. Saul should have fought Goliath. Saul was 6'8". Scripture says that Saul stood head and shoulders above everyone in Israel. So he was a large man. But I imagine every morning that Goliath came and challenged him, Saul was probably doing this, you know. He was hoping nobody noticed that he was towering, that he should have been the one. He's hoping nobody will come to him and go, "Hey, why don't you accept the challenge here?" Saul is terrified. He was not going to do this. No way. And so what Saul decides is he's going to offer this huge compensation package to anybody that can defeat Goliath. He's going to give him tax-exempt status for life, and as a signing bonus, he offers his daughter in marriage. He's not going to get Father of the Year, okay? 40 days, Goliath made the same challenge. Somebody come fight me. 40 days, Saul offered the same reward. For 40 days, nobody stepped up. Everybody just cowered. 40 days, they lived terrified, and they just hid. David's father, he had 8 sons, you remember. 3 of the oldest, they have enlisted in this makeshift army. Jesse asks David, the youngest son, to go to the front lines. He says, I want you to take some supplies, check on your brothers. I imagine David's pretty excited about this opportunity. I mean, think about it. He gets to leave the field where he takes care of sheep all day long. He gets to go to the battlefield, kind of get this front view of combat. And he gets to the battlefield, and it's quiet. It's not what he expected. David asks his brothers, he says, what's going on here? And they start telling him about Goliath. David, you gotta see this guy. I mean, he's like a superhero, man. He can toss a spear like the length of a football field. He's a monster. You know, 40 days, no fighting. 40 days, the soldiers of Israel are terrified. They're hiding in their tents. For 40 days, they're cowering. But this is the 41st day. And things are about to change. Things are about to change because the Holy Spirit was whispering in David's ear, I want to see you be brave. And David hears it. And David says, I'll do it. With God's help, I can take this guy out. I mean, David's bold heart, it was a brave heart, and it changes history. I mean, how do you develop a heart like that? Because what I believe is that everybody in this room, at least in our minds, we want to live with a brave heart. I think all of us, in our heart of hearts, we want to exhibit the kind of courage that David does in the story. And what I want us to realize is that it takes time to build a brave heart like that. You know, David's boldness quotient, so to speak, was built way before the 41st day. Way before he had the opportunity to challenge Goliath. We live in this day and age that I think we have an illusion. And it goes something like this, that you can produce a bold heart out of the blue. You know, when that moment comes, when you face that Goliath moment, that you can just somehow just pull a bold heart out and take a stand. And I want to tell you, it does not happen that way. The truth is, if you wait until you're facing Goliath in your life, you will run for cover. You will cower. You probably will not do well. Heard the other day about a guy that this man arrives at the pearly gates, St. Pete. St. Pete's always there to meet you. And he says, I can't find any records that you did anything exceptionally good. Nothing in particular is impressive to me. And the guy's like, well, one time I saw a biker gang. They were bothering this old lady. I intervened. In fact, I got so wound up, I got a hold of one of the guys in the gang and I ripped his nose ring right out. And I told him, you better leave this woman alone or you're going to have to deal with me. St. Pete, looking through his records, he's a little bit puzzled. He goes, when did this happen? He goes, about 2 minutes ago. Some of you got it, and then there's the second wave. Okay, all right. Friends, if you wait until Goliath shows up, you probably will not do well. A bold, brave heart, it's got to be developed over time. David, he faces all these situations in his life way before Goliath. Situations that required him to have enormous bravery. And so I want to look at the things that developed David's heart. Things that I believe will develop our hearts. Or things that can cause you to lose heart. I mean, first, you have to learn to face the everyday challenges in your life. The fact is, we don't like this part very much. But all those situations in our life, those challenges, provide us with an opportunity to build a brave heart. You know, David spent all those years shepherding, but he was developing his heart. You see it when David, there's a point where he's trying to convince King Saul to allow him to fight. And he explains why he's prepared to fight Goliath. He says, "Your Majesty, I take care of my father's sheep all the time. A lion or a bear carries off a lamb, and I go after them, attack it, and rescue the lamb. And if the lion or bear turns on me, I grab it by the throat and beat it to death." I mean, do you feel the confidence in that? I mean, David goes on in Scripture, says, "The Lord has saved me from lions and bears. He will save me from this Philistine." Now think about this. David's out in the field taking care of his father's sheep, not even his sheep. A lion comes along. He doesn't have a gun. He's got a sling and a big stick, probably. Lion pursuing. What do you do in that moment? You're probably thinking, exit the zoo immediately, get away, you know. But I mean, what do you do in that moment? David, he could have ran. No one would have known. The sheep are not going to give him up. David could have ran. Only David and God would have known. But David would have missed an opportunity in his life. He would have missed an opportunity for God to grow his heart. He would have missed an opportunity to sharpen his skills. He would have missed that opportunity to learn from that experience. All the experiences with God that I believe grew his heart and built trust. Built trust in God in those times. I think all those things gave him the courage to face this challenge with Goliath. You know, David's heart, it's developed in everyday moments when nobody's looking, when nobody's watching. It's found in the unglamorous stuff of life, everyday stuff. I mean, think about it. There is nothing glamorous about shepherding sheep, is there? But David, he faced the challenges that he was given. And as a result, he ends up with this really brave heart. You know, I was thinking, you can hear that God is faithful. We hear it all the time. You can hear that 1,000 times. God's faithful. You can read hundreds of books that talk about God's faithful, God's faithful. But you will not believe that until you put it to the test in real life, in your life. That point where you hit that threshold and you rise to the challenge, whatever it is, and you take on that lion or that bear that you face on a daily basis. I mean, it might be a difficult challenge at work, you know, some project, some situation. And inside, you want to bail. Inside, you want to put it off. And you can do that. A lot of people do. Or you could pray and say, "With God's help, I'm going after that bear. And what happens is it grows your heart. I mean, maybe you're facing a parental challenge. You know, maybe the behavioral trend of your child's going the wrong direction, the wrong way. And it's going to require energy. And the temptation, I think, is to hide. You know, take the easy way out. Lots of people do it these days. You can do that. Comes with a high cost, by the way. Or you can say, with God's help, I'm going after this bear. You know, it is a heart-building situation. If David had waited until he faced Goliath, I believe he would have ran and hid just like everybody else. But David doesn't. I mean, David is brave. You feel it. You develop your heart with everyday challenges that you face. If you run, you lose heart. If you face whatever it is and trust that God will be faithful, what happens is your heart grows. It just does. Here's the second thing, I believe, that you develop your heart when you learn to face criticism or opposition in life. Again, most of us do not like being in that situation, but it develops a boldness. You know, David, he's sent by his father. He says, hey, take some supplies to your brother, check on him. David arrives. He's listening to Goliath and his taunting. He's listening to Goliath and his challenges. And he looks around and he sees everybody hiding. So David inquires, what's the king offering? I mean, if someone will fight this guy. And so they tell him. They tell him all that's involved. David's oldest brother, Eliab, he hears David asking this question. And he gets angry with David. He says, now what have you... Actually, back me up a screen. Why have you come down here? And with whom do you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. See, I picture David's other brothers are there. They're laughing. Eliab takes this cheap shot at David. And David, again, remember, he's sent by his father. David didn't come on his own. David took care of a lot of sheep, not a few sheep. David was just being obedient. And I think, why did Eliab take these jabs at David? And I kind of chalk it up to misguided criticism. Fact is, Eliab has been listening to Goliath for 40 days. For 40 days, Eliab heard the taunts. He heard the challenge. For 40 days, he didn't respond. He just kind of shrank back. And I think every day that he didn't step up, he felt more and more like a coward. Wasn't so hard to deal with when his other two brothers, I mean, that were there with him, they were doing the same thing. They're in the same boat with him. But David shows up. David's brave. And in David's presence, I think his brother was reminded how he had responded. And he didn't like what he saw. I think in David's presence, he felt ashamed. In David's presence, he had to acknowledge his own fear. And it just messed with his heart. I mean, fear will do that to you. Friends, if you cower enough, if you cower before whatever your Goliath is, you do it long enough, eats away your self-respect. I mean, it's okay as long as the people that are around you live with the same kind of fear. But when someone dares to challenge that Goliath, all of a sudden it doesn't feel so good. It's not so comfortable. All of a sudden you need something to kind of boost your self-esteem. And I think a lot of people just get angry. They get resentful. Put on this kind of a false bravado. So Eliab takes shots at David. It's criticism that David faced, and it isn't fair. It's not fair at all. And I think about how David responds to it, because he could have wasted a lot of time and energy fighting with his brother about it. He could have taken some shots at Eliab. I mean, that's wide open. He could have just took him apart. But Scripture says this. He says, David says, "Now what have I done? Can't I even speak?" Here's the key part. Then he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, saying, "Hey, what's involved if I fight this guy?" David states his position, and then he turns to someone else. David doesn't allow the criticism to have power in his life. You know, David stays focused on what God's calling him to do. He focuses on his mission. Now, question, how many of you have ever been criticized? Come on. How do you deal with criticism? Well, I think you get one of a couple of ways. One, if the criticism is inaccurate, you dismiss it, you turn away, and you move on. If the criticism is accurate, you fix whatever it is, and then you move on. Sometimes it's a blend of those two things. But friends, you cannot let criticism cause you to lose heart. I have watched people that have allowed criticism and opposition I've watched people get sidetracked in their life, and I have watched people wither away because of it. Now, you would think that people would be cheering David on when he stepped up, but that's not what happened. And I think that's true in life. When you get serious about trusting God, when you get serious about facing some God-sized challenge in life, when you decide that you're going to be God-honoring no matter what, there is a really good chance that someone will be threatened and someone will try and hold you back. And many times it comes from people closest to you. I mean, you should expect criticism. You know, when you face that criticism, you have a very, very important decision to make. It's where the game's won or lost. You can give up. You can lose heart. You can get defensive about it. You can spend a lot of time and energy trying to straighten them out. And I'll just tell you from experience, that seldom pans out. Or you can say, "I want to be brave. You know, I believe this is what God wants me to do," and you just get doing it. See, when you face that criticism, again, it's a great opportunity to build boldness into your heart. You also build boldness when you refuse to conform, especially to this world. Saul hears that this young man has offered himself to fight, and so he has David brought before him. And Saul is listening, and David says to Saul, he says, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And so Saul's having this conversation with David. David's offering to fight, and Saul starts trying to talk David out of it. It's a very interesting thing. He's like, David, you're outclassed here. David, this guy's been a warrior for years, since his youth. You're just a boy. You can't do this, David. Now, when I read this story, I don't know if Saul is being cynical, if he's being sincere, or if he's envious. I don't know. There's no way to really know. But David states his case. David talks about all of his dealings, you know, fighting with bears and lions. And finally, he convinces Saul, and Saul says, go, and the Lord be with you. And then you got the comical scene, which we had time to go into all of it, but David ends up putting on all of Saul's championship armor. You know, Saul says, here, use my stuff. And here's the problem. David's like a 36 short. Saul's a 54 long. So he puts the stuff on, you know. He's swimming in it. David's like, this doesn't feel right. I've never wore stuff like this. I've never used a sword before. This won't work. And I love this. He says, so he took them off. And then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch, his shepherd's bag, and a sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. David was bold enough to tell Saul, this isn't going to work. Now, I want you to think about this. Saul is king. David's a subject. Saul is a warrior. David's a shepherd boy. Saul, he has fought many battles in his life. David has never seen combat. And I think it would have been really easy for David to cave in on this one. You know what, Saul? You know more than I do. I'll do it your way. I'll fight him your way. But David doesn't do that because David knew something really important. David knew himself. David knew his enemy. He'd been eyeing him up that day. And most of all, David knew his God and what God was calling him to. See, I believe God longs. He's looking through this world to find people that refuse to be conformed to this world and the world's ways, refuse to be squeezed by this world. Some of you are working in an office. There's stuff being said in the office. Maybe in your family. Maybe even in the church. And the pressure of this world is to squeeze and move you to a point that you will say nothing. You just go roll with it because it's easy. See, I believe God's looking for people that will stand up, bold heart in this timid, extremely timid world. You know, maybe you're working somewhere and the tendency and the word of the day is, hey, compromise. It's the norm. Ethics are lacking. And you know that you could advance if you're just willing to give in. But see, I believe that God's waiting for people that have a brave heart, that are willing to stand their ground and say, with God's help, I am not going down that road. Some of you, there are people that you know that did not know Jesus Christ. They desperately need someone to love them and to pray for them. They need someone that's willing to just share their faith with them. But man, there's a lot of pressure. And so you just shrink back. See, I believe God's looking for someone to be bold enough, brave enough. You know, David, he comes to that defining moment in his life. Defining moment in Goliath's life, he just doesn't know it. And it's a defining moment in the life of God's people, the Israelites. I often wonder, every time I read this story, I wonder what would have happened to the people of Israel if David had not come to that moment. I want you to picture David. He's standing before Goliath. Goliath's approaching. Scripture says that as Goliath approached, that his shield bearer was in front of him. Kind of like two against one. It's given him a little more protection with the shield. He gets a little closer to David. He sees David's a boy. He starts talking trash at this point. He says, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said. "I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." Now, this is pre-battle talk. This is trash talk. This is new to David, but it's how it was in that day. David's got to respond somehow with something. You know, "I'm rubber, you're glue. You know, whatever you say bounces off you or off me and sticks to you." How many of you used that before? Well, that's not going to work. He says, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied." Then David, I think, is talking a little trash here. Says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give your carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals." That was real original. I mean, he just heard it. But David's new at this. It says, "This day, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Goliath never saw it coming. I mean, he'd been through a lot of battles, Goliath had. But he'd never faced an opponent like this. I mean, it's a skinny kid. No armor. No war experience. No sword. No javelin. No spear. Only the God of Israel. And I imagine Holy Spirit was whispering in David's ear, "David, I want to see you be brave. I mean, show me how big your brave is." And David didn't run. I mean, David stood his ground at that point. Friends, I do not know what your Goliath is that you're facing. I don't know what it is that creates a lot of anxiety and fear and frustration in your life. But whatever it is you're facing, you got to face it. I mean, you know, you may be facing something that you know you cannot win in a traditional way, that swords and spears and all the physical stuff of this world is not going to get you through. You know, whatever it is, what I want to tell you is God can do for you what he did for David. In fact, whatever it is in your life, I believe God's Holy Spirit is saying, "I want to see you be brave." You know, whatever your Goliath is, to just face it, to step up with the power of God in your life. You know, maybe it's a failure that's paralyzed you. You know, maybe it's a health issue in your life. Maybe it's a difficult person that you really need to go deal with. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a financial issue that's about to undo you. Maybe it's a vocational decision and you just keep putting it off, hoping it'll go away. Maybe it's a risk that you're really afraid to take. I do not know what your Goliath is. But here's what I know. If you let Goliath intimidate you, if you let Goliath convince you that you are helpless against whatever it is, if you let Goliath freak you out and you just run and hide and hope he goes away, you will die a little bit each day and you will lose your heart. And friends, life is too precious. Your life is too precious to God. The battle is too important. You know, God's Holy Spirit is whispering I want to see, be brave. Show me how brave you are. Show me how big your brave is. Here's what I know. When you turn and you face whatever it is, when you face that Goliath, you know, with that one small stone and the power of God, it's stronger than anything the world can throw at you. Facing life with God. See, this story, it's not about David's raw courage. It's not about David's skill with a sling. It's about his brave, bold heart, willing to take a risk. You know, trusting that God will unleash supernatural powers in his life, in your life, and in mine. That's what it's about. It says, all those gathered here will know that it's not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves. David says, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you, not just Goliath, all of you, into our hands. Friends, when I read that story, I think, how could God take something that small and do something so big? You picture David, he's got his sling, begins twirling it over his head, and he launches that stone 200 feet per second. I imagine as the rock's traveling, imagine Goliath thinking, I should have had Wheaties this morning or something. I think he knew he was in trouble. When the rock hits him in the forehead, I mean, it's like a 44 Magnum. And he hits the ground, DOA. David cuts his head off. See, David is making a statement now. Philistines, they see it, they freak out, they take off, and the Israelite army pursues. It's an amazing victory. Friends, God's still in the business of delivering bold, brave-hearted people from whatever the Goliaths are in life. Again, I don't know what your Goliath is. I don't know what problems you're facing. They may be huge. The challenges may be big in your life. The mission may be so giant that you think, I don't know if I can accomplish it. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you've been running for a long time. Maybe you've been hiding out, hoping it'll just go away. Maybe it seems impossible. But friends, make no mistake about it. It is not bigger than God, whatever it is. With God, all things, not some, all things are possible. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. We're going to continue in worship. And today what I want to do is invite you. There are stones up here. And I just want to invite you as a symbol, because I know some of you are battling some stuff, going through some things, got some challenges in life. But for this to be a symbol, today, I will live with a brave heart. Today, I will start fighting. Whatever the Goliath is, I'll start fighting with God by my side. And my prayer has been all week, is was putting things together, is that you'll take that risk. See, I know that as I've been talking today, that the Holy Spirit's been whispering to some of you, I want to see you be brave. Show me how big your brave is. And I'm going to have prayer, and then I just invite you to come up, grab a stone. You know, you can step off to the side, pray, lift it up to God, just you and God. If you want to get a stone, and there'll be some people up here that will be glad to pray with you if you would like that. But you can do what you want. And then take this. Take it home with you. Maybe put it on the counter. Put it on your desk at work. Put it in your pocket and carry it around. I don't know. But every time you see it, it reminds you, I'm going to fight. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to deal with this. I will push through the challenge. I will do whatever it is you want me to do. Today's the day. Braveheart. No more cowering. No more hiding. No more procrastinating. Friends, I want to see you be brave. Brave. Our holy God, I know there are many today that they're facing stuff, and it looks impossible. I know there are challenges that they seem immense. I know some are in situations, and I mean, things are really getting difficult. God, I pray you would build their heart. They'd realize it's an opportunity to be bold, to grow. And God, I know there's some that are tired. They've been hiding in a tent way too long. Eroded everything in them. God, I pray that we'd hear your Holy Spirit, that we would be brave, not because of what we can do, but because of what you can do through us. God, give us faith. Help us be the people you've called us, created us to be. Brave hearts, God. We give you the glory this day and every day. And I invite you to come and brave hearts.